Hello, hello again, and welcome to another, not only a very, very hot day on both East and West Coast, but also another episode of Through Autistic Eyes podcast. So this is your host, Christopher D. Kasson. Some call me the Autistic Guru because a certain guy that we both know decided to spread around to my irritants, but at the same time, the thought of him hearing the ambulance. See, and then, so, and the thought of him just doing a random fist bump in the air every time he hears me say it out in public, possibly getting weird looks, kind of amuses my brain. But we're not talking about him. We're talking about our current guest here, Tucker Bearden, who is a certified Ziegler Legacy speaker, autism advocate, best-selling author, and a communications expert that travels the country, inspiring people to take life to another level while also teaching people how to earn residual returns on their money without the hassle of starting a new business or learning any complex new skills. And a quote from him is, if you can go out and be the spark that lights the way through the darkness for at least one person a day in any shape, form, or way, it won't matter if your name isn't remembered throughout history or if you even get rich in the process, your entire life would have been worthwhile. So thank you again, Tucker Bearden, for joining me for another episode, since you have been a previous guest here before.
Well, thank you for having me, brother. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, and so now that we got to that, for those who haven't seen that previous episode that we have, maybe go with a brief summary of your personal background, and also what's your origin story pertaining to the subject today of how you exactly you got into the crypto world? Because I know you call yourself sometimes the cryptopreneur. Kind of give a history on that.
Okay, so which one do you want me to answer? That was a lot.
Personal background first, then the crypto. We'll go in order.
Okay. So personal background, I'm a keynote speaker and a best-selling author. That came about for I found TED Talks. And I have a form of autism called Asperger's, same one as you. It makes communication difficult, understanding sarcasm difficult. My emotions are not what they are for most people. and I discovered TED Talks. I said, that's something that I wanted to do. It was something that lit a fire in me, and I felt the passion to go out and do that. So I went out and I learned communication, just forcing myself into situations, and then I practiced keynote speaking in my room, talking to walls, and then one day somebody asked me to speak on stage, and I've been addicted ever since. Then I ended up writing a book called The Plate That Broke the World, One Man's Journey into the Ego, which goes into the psychology of the human ego and how we hold on to things and let go of things and the science behind how all of that works in the mind. And it helps you navigate letting go and healing, so to speak. And then on the crypto side of things, so I was introduced to the space about 6 years ago, and I'm not what people believe. A lot of people think that I'm a trader. I do not trade crypto. I do not buy and wait for it to go up and sell it. That's what everybody gets confused. I do not do that. So what I do is I offer people access to platforms that give us specific returns on our money every single week. Mm-hmm. So if you instead of putting your money into a bank where you're going to lose money due to inflation, which you cannot outrun with savings, or putting your money into a 401k, which is just going to deplete and lose value over time. And even if it didn't, it's still never going to be enough for you to retire on, especially in today's times. I give people a place where they know what they're going to make. They make it every single week. And then at the end of a specific term, they get a big bonus on top of all the profits that they've been pulling out every week. Mm-hmm. So that is what I do in the crypto space. I was introduced to it by a friend of mine from Ireland. I didn't understand it at first. He shoved it down my throat for a little while, and I was like, fine, okay. And I started putting money away, and now I don't have to work. I do what I do for fun.
And we're just going to make this disclaimer. He is calls himself the cryptopreneur, but he's also not a not a financial advisor, so we're just presenting info for you to start looking into yourself in case, and in case go further into this, you know, you could also contact him or maybe a different financial advisor just to look at your options. But right now we're presenting one of these options in the crypto space. So with this, with what you're doing, what's the difference between with investing in like stocks and ETFs and cryptocurrencies? Is there maybe like a preference in
it's,
investing?
It's just simply what you're doing. I mean, not to cut you off, but I understand the question. It is not that you in all those stocks and things like that, you're buying it at a certain price and hoping that it goes up. I don't gamble. I don't like gambling. Never been a gambler. If I don't know what I'm going to make at minimum, I will not invest in it. In a program that I offer people, you are told exactly what you're going to make, how long it's going to take to make, how much you can take out every week, exactly when you're going to get paid. And it's worked. It always works. It always has worked. And it does nothing but get better. In fact, the company, as of last month, our portfolio is up 33x from January. And we have officially hit $1 billion portfolio with over 1 million users.
Okay. So basically, not as much certainty with stocks and ETFs. Whereas this one, but at the same time, I've also known of, you know, people are always thinking of stuff like FTX and all the other, you know, all
well,
the
here,
other-
I'll put it like this. I'll put it like this, man. So the reason that I say crypto is because I get paid in crypto. I get paid bonuses in Bitcoin and USDT, but whenever I cash out, it's in USDT, which is a stable token that is worth $1 to $1 always. So if you have 1,000 USDT, you have 1,000 US dollars. It doesn't go up and down. And crypto is a universal currency that we can use around the world. And our company has clients in countries all over the world. So that's the reason that we use that currency. And the way that the company makes its money is that it takes our investment and it invests it in a multitude of different platforms. They own their own tech company, their own gaming platform, their own supplements company, their own trading, Forex trading company. There's a multitude of different companies that are umbrellaed under this one entity, and then they share the profits amongst the users. This is what a bank does with your money, but instead, a bank uses other assets too that we can't talk about legally.
Yeah, so, you know, with that, I know you invest in a bunch of other companies like this. So how do you go about deciding which one you want to start with first, per se? And how do you weed out the ones that are maybe not as trustworthy as they would like to present themselves as, you know, that get past such pitfalls?
Yeah. So, sorry, it's like 200 degrees. Not literally, but it feels like it. I get so hot, it's hard to breathe. So anyway, so first of all, when it comes to figuring out what, I want to answer your question in order. How do I know what company to start with? The one that works. So I started with one. I only had one company offered in the beginning. I only knew about one company. I invested with that company. I took money from that company and diversified in financial using what's called financial arbitrage across multiple different platforms. Some of the platforms failed, some of them didn't. And in the process of them doing that, I learned the things that you are asking about. So what are some kind of red flags that you have? So one of the red flags that I look for straight off the jump is are they KYC approved, which is a know your customer security protocol that prevents money laundering. If they are not KYC approved, they will not last in the long haul. That is just a fact. Okay. It goes against SEC regulations. And even though you can run the company in other countries, I'm in the United States, so I don't care what you can do in other countries. I care about what you can do here legally. Okay. And then another thing that I look for is what is the return that they're offering and how are they making their money? Because if a company is offering you 3% a day on your money and they're trading crypto or Forex, they're going to fail. 100% of the time, no questions asked, the company will not last, period. They can talk all the game they want, but I know the numbers. I've seen it firsthand. It's not possible. Now, if they are offering you, say, 5% a week, that's doable. That's realistic. 1% a day, very doable, very realistic, still a little more risky. Still a little more risky. Anything over 2.2 to 2.5% a day, the company's foundation will fall if it is based on trading. Especially, and this is another red flag, do they buy low and sell high? Because if a company buys low and sells high, and that's how they make their money, they will not last. Period. Period. Ever. At all. It's not possible. You will fail. But if they make their money in the downtrends as well as the uptrends with the gorillas and the bulls, that is a way that a company can sustain itself. But either way, solidity is found in diversification. And if a company is not diversified and their numbers are unrealistic, that is red flags, and I won't invest with them.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that definitely does. And I also, you know, despite all this information, there's always going to be some people that kind of wonder, well, why do people still have this stereotypical viewpoint of this, you know, the whole crypto space being and NFTs being like a scam or another, for example, Tulip Mania Financial Bubble 2.0, which is actually a Dutch financial quote-unquote craze for tulip bulbs in the 1630s, which ended up reading up about and saying that tulips were considered a newish luxury product that displayed by well-educated members of the merchant class along with other rarities like shells and so forth. And part of what helped cause that crash was fears of oversupply and also unsustainability of price. So what makes the crypto space a lot more different than say
supply and demand? So a physical asset can run out of things to trade, so to speak. Crypto can't do that. So Bitcoin, people think Bitcoins are created out of thin air. No, they are not. Yes, they were originally. Now they aren't. But I mean, well, don't quote me on that. Let me redact that statement.
Yeah.
Bitcoins are created every year, every day, et cetera, et cetera. But the price of Bitcoin, the usage of Bitcoin will never be lower than the production rate. The U.S. dollar is plummeting because they are printing more money than it is worth. Crypto will only create as much as it is used. So Bitcoin, for example, will never crash. People can think that they will. If you're someone that thinks that it will, I'm sorry, someone didn't educate you and you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, especially since they've been saying that for how long now, and it still keeps bumping up and down and up and down, and it keeps increasing over time.
Oh yeah, they're going to do another halving next year, and Bitcoin's going to triple to quadruple in price. And and let me tell you something, the people that are in power don't want to give power back to the people, and crypto gives power to the people because you can make money tax free, you can bypass the IRS in a multitude of different ways completely legally. They can't do anything about it. They can't track you. They can't audit you. They can't take your money. They can't touch you. That takes power away from the elites, and the elites control what? The media. So they get the media to make you believe that crypto's a scam, crypto's this, crypto's that. But they continue to push the U.S. dollar that's going downhill, and crypto is going all the way up every single day. And people say, Bitcoin's going to crash. No, it's not. And here's the thing that they also don't understand, is that people that actually make money in crypto, not people that buy low and sell high, all they're doing is paying us. All they're doing is paying those of us that make our money, whether it goes up or goes down. If it plummets today, I get rich. If it goes up today, I get rich. My money is made on it going up and down. I do not make money on buying it here and selling it here because I never sell it. You see what I'm saying? So it's just like Forex. Forex is if you bid on it going down and it goes down, you get paid. If you bid on it going up and it goes up, you get paid. Okay? So crypto is impossible to crash because of that. Now, people say, well, there's specific coins that crashed. Yes, there are. There are specific coins that crashed because a small group of people tried to create one and then promote it and hope that its usage would become mainstream, and it didn't. Bitcoin is mainstream in almost every country in the world. There is enough people that are using it every single day, which causes its price to go up, that it will never crash. Look at a dollar, for example. One U.S. dollar isn't even worth $1. One Bitcoin is worth how much? $30,000+, and it continues to go up. There isn't even a comparison. It's literally comparing a pea to a mountain.
Okay, so since we're talking about Bitcoin halving, what exactly is Bitcoin halving, and how does that process work? Because I know there's one coming up in early next year, I believe it was.
Well, I don't really know how to explain that per se, and I'm not going to sit here and make anything up. So what they do, it splits across the market, if that makes any sense. I would highly advise just Googling it to get a better specific understanding of what a halving is. But I will say this, every single time a Bitcoin has halved, it has tripled and quadrupled in price within the next year, every single time. So the price might cut in half temporarily, but then it explodes. So like I said, Google it, look it up. I'm not giving a good explanation of it, nor am I going to attempt to, because I don't fully understand how it works. I just know it works and I use it to make a lot of money.
So when you're going into stuff like the crypto space, whether it be what you do or the whole, you know, the way people do it with treating it like a stock of buying and hoping it goes up, what are things to keep in mind when going in for the first time, and what pitfalls have you ran into in order so that, you know, other people don't do the same thing?
I don't understand the question.
What are things to keep in mind when going in for the first time? Are there any, like...
Well, if you're attempting to buy low and sell high, be ready to sit in for the very, 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 very long game. It's like a stock. You can't lose on stocks so long as you buy low and wait for 20 years unless you die, you know? And that's why Warren Buffett has done as well as he has. He's never lost money on a stock, not one time. Why? Because he hasn't sold any of them. He makes his dividends, and he has had them for a million years because he's 2 million years old. No offense. But
I think he's in his 90s, but yeah.
Yeah, something like that. It translates. You know what I'm saying? It's dog years, I think. Something. Anyway, so if you want to buy low, sell high, good luck. That's all I'm going to say. Just good luck. You're playing with fire. You are in the long term. Yes, you will make money. In the short term, good luck to you. The wise thing to do is to find somebody such as myself, or even Christopher, because Christopher is one of my clients. And find someone such as ourselves that has a platform that tells you what you're going to make, lets you make it every week. Don't risk. Just do what is already been set out to work. Don't try and go out there and start trading and doing all this. I mean, yes, you can do it if that's your passion. Go for it. But I'm going to tell you right now, you make a lot more money putting your money somewhere and letting it grow than risking your money on the market.
Something that does come to mind is, you know, I've seen the ruling of, you know, the whole SEC, that SEC versus Ripple, and how the judge said that Ripple is not a security if by a particular way. We discussed this offline with if it's institutional selling or something like that, then it's considered security. But if it's, you know, something like putting on a platform like Coinbase than it is in a security. So how do you think a ruling such as that is going to really affect the crypto space, in your opinion?
It's making it blow up. Because the SEC, look, dude, the SEC did that on purpose. They knew as soon as they began that court case that they were going to lose. They never had a chance, and they never thought they had a chance. And this is what I believe happened. And I could be wrong, but I highly doubt that I am. They went against XRP. They froze XRP. You couldn't trade XRP. But right before they froze XRP, they purchased a boatload of XRP, okay? The government did. And then they sit there and they take out a case against XRP that was complete and total hogwash. I mean, they're never going to win, ever. Crypto wins, the government loses. It's the way it's always going to be. Hence why they're creating FedNow and the Fed coin that's going to replace the US dollar.
Yeah.
They can't beat us, so they're joining us. So it's causing the crypto space to blow up, because now that they're out of court, the XRP price, go look at it. Go look at the fluctuations. All they did was create a wave that they knew was coming, and they wrote it. It is insider trading at the highest level. The U.S. government committed financial fraud. No surprise.
Yeah, especially with stocks and how some members of Congress had invested in Moderna and whatnot like a month or two before they really told anyone about the whole COVID thing coming out and then shutting everyone down and the whole vaccine.
But get this. So since they did that, they created a lot of fear on using the media. Oh, crypto's this, crypto's that. Everybody, get rid of it. So what happened as soon as XRP was available to be sold? All the sheep that follow them sold, made people like me shit tons of money because they're stupid. Like, I was being honest. I hate to be blunt and seemingly rude, but they are. If you watch TV and you listen to what the news says and you follow them, you're a sheep, and you should lose because that's what you deserve. I'm just being blunt. Oh, I know it's harsh, but it's true. It's true. These people, those of us in the crypto space that know what we're talking about, have been. It's kind of like, and I hate to bring this up on your show, but it's true. It's kind of like the COVID vaccine. Everybody, oh, if you don't get it, you're gonna die. If you don't get it, you ain't gonna be able to do this, that, and another. Look how long that lasted. Nobody that refused it is dead. Nobody that got it was benefited from it, and none of us are refused from doing anything. It was a sham by the media and the elites to scare you in a specific direction. It's the exact same thing they did with XRP. It is insider trading, and since it is crypto, they can't be charged for insider trading. It's not a stock. Yeah. See how that works?
Yep, and now there's also the whole controversy of, you know, more and more, like some nations accept trying to introduce CBDCs. So what's the difference between CBDCs and cryptocurrency? Because they're trying to prop up the whole Fed now since I believe a day or two.
What is a CB? I don't know what a CBC is.
CBDC.
I don't know what that is.
A central bank digital currency.
Oh, yes. Okay. So, yeah, that is their version of a crypto, because they can't beat us. They tried over and over and over again to beat us, and they lose 100% of the time. Crypto wasn't originally designed to be a mainstream currency. It was originally designed for video game players and hackers and people trading hogwash on the dark web. It had no value. It was like trading gold on RuneScape. It meant nothing. You know, it only blew up because a guy paid 10,000 bitcoins for a pizza to Papa John's. Okay, yeah. That's the only reason that it got popular the way that it did. So they can't beat us, so they are joining us, and they while acting like they're trying to beat us. It's all a sham. You can't believe anything that they're saying, do you?
Like, we could do transactions instantly. It's like, you already can do that with Bitcoin. I mean, what's the difference exactly? It's like,
They're trying to get, but here's the thing, what they don't understand.
It's more like they want to be able to have some sort of control over it. So they do it through
it secrecy. Is.
So
they have no power over the blockchain. No individual person runs the blockchain. It doesn't matter how much crypto you own. You don't get majority say in the blockchain. There is no personal information on the blockchain. There's no financial information on the blockchain. There are nothing but codes attached to coins. And people say, oh, well, they're not backed by anything. That is hogwash. The U.S. dollar is not backed by anything at all, yeah. Period. Yeah. The crypto is backed by every single user that owns a cryptocurrency and the assets that they have. So the amount of money that they are moving through the crypto space is what's backing the actual crypto itself. It's the only currency in existence that literally backs itself more solid than physical assets. Hmm. Period.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember where I heard this, because I thought I heard about Europe trying to pass legislation saying you, for crypto space, you have to have your personal identity attached with some weird stuff. I don't know.
Here's the thing, man. They can try to do that all day long, but what they don't understand is that those of us in the crypto space hate the U.S. government. We despise them, hence why we bypass them on taxes, and they can't do anything about it. I will tell an IRS agent straight to their face. I have quote unquote this many amounts of cryptocurrency, 100,000, a million, whatever in cryptocurrency. I'll straight up tell my IRS agent. You know what they'll go? You know what they'll say? Well, there's nothing we can do about that. Exactly. You can't touch it. You can't audit it. You can't do anything about it. It is mine. I'm gonna make my money. I'm not gonna pay you any money. And you're going to have to deal with that. That's why they're trying to do what they're doing, but we will never support them. It ain't going to happen.
I'm trying to wonder how that works with the whole IRS, because I remember the whole Coinbase with reporting to the IRS on earnings, but at the same time, it's like...
Because they sell crypto. You have to report to the IRS if you have what is called income. Income is U.S. dollars being received on U.S. soil in a state that requires income tax. If you have a Coinbase account and you are in a state that has income tax and you sell that crypto for U.S. dollars and you cash out those U.S. dollars to a platform that is not decentralized, yes, you will pay taxes on that. But so long as you do not do that, or you cash out crypto in a state that doesn't have income tax, you are scot-free.
Hmm.
So, or you can have a secondary citizenship, dual citizenship in another country. Got to buy some land to do that. But if you do that, you're clear too.
Hmm. Interesting. I didn't know that. You know, I've always randomly thought about, well, what if I do want second citizenship just in case it goes south here, but
most people do it for tax purposes.
Tax purposes, okay. So what? I'm trying to remember what states don't have an income tax.
Florida is one of them.
Oh, right, Florida. I always thought about moving to Florida, maybe sometime within like the next decade or two. But
well, you got to live there for, I believe it's 6 months or something like that, to become a citizen. Once you become a citizen, then you get your tax.
Oh, you mean it's just going to another state, not another country? That would be a different thing depending on the country, right?
It's the same concept. You have to be in the other country for a certain period of time. Each country has a different time frame that you have to be there before you become a citizen. But either way, it's all the same. If you become a citizen of a place that doesn't have taxes, like Dubai, why do you think Dubai is one of the richest places in the world? Because they don't tax the people that live there. It's not just because they have oil and things like that. It's because all of that money that the government robs from the people and puts in the pockets of politicians that don't deserve it, it goes back to the people. And in turn, those people have more money to spend on businesses and things of that nature. Taxes are a scam. Period. Hmm.
Yeah, in the United States, did a Boston Tea Party over the taxes in the first place. So it seems kind of strange how we went into a big reversal of supporting taxes to support all these different programs and whatnot.
Yeah, well, I don't mess with them, so don't. I don't agree with it. They can't There's nothing they can do. Come at me, bro. Hey, good luck with you. I don't support them, and I will not be their puppet.
Okay. What was I?
I'm sorry. It is so hot that I'm almost edgy, and I'm.
It's a bit hot in here too, but I don't have the humidity like you do over there, so it's a little bit more bearable.
Yeah, like my pants are dripping. Like I'm literally, there's a pool under me.
Thanks for letting us know that live on air.
No, I mean, it's hot. That's what I'm saying. It's so hot that there's a pool of sweat under me. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? It's that hot. So I'm a little bit, my mood is a little edgy, so I apologize.
Yeah. I get that way, but instead of heat, it's usually when I lack amount of sleep. You know what I mean? So.
Me too. Oh, you don't want me to be hot and sleepy. Mm-hmm. Somebody will get slapped.
So, yeah, a little bit off topic since this is supposed to be about crypto, but I do remember you doing the whole OSnap thing. What's that again?
OSnap is an all natural replacement for energy drinks, coffee, energy pills, things of that nature. But I mean, there's multiple types of OSnap. There's OSnap Surge, which has multiple flavors. I prefer the coffee or espresso. Mm-hmm. It's just a little square about this big. You break it. It's got a tiny amount of liquid. You pull it out. It goes straight into your system. It is all natural. It's just plants and things that are already in your brain. I'm losing you. Sorry, I'm not charging here for some reason.
Okay.
Oh, this isn't good. Give me just one.
Okay.
I have no power. So, yeah, that's not good. I don't know what is going on. My battery is overheating because it's 100 million degrees out here.
Yeah, and I've been having that happen to me too when I'm doing like Uber Eats and it's 100 and my phone just gets searing hot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So anyway, the good Lord, it's so hot I can't think. So anyway, the OSnap is basically like we've got one that puts you to sleep. We've got one that gives you energy. We've got one that you take after workouts that literally repairs cells in your body on top of replacing all your workout supplements. And then we have another one that's called Complete, and it has all of your daily greens and vitamins and things of that nature that you need all in one little packet. So that's what it is.
Yeah, I could have used one this morning. You know, it's just...
Well, you ain't went to TuckerBearden.com and ordered you any. Well, that's what it is.
You mean work with Tucker Bearden?
Work with Tucker. You see, it's so hot I can't remember my own website. Work with TuckerBearden.com. So, I'm getting tired of wiping my face with this rag because now it's ew.
Yeah, you know, we're gonna eventually cut the short so that you can find some air conditioning and
I appreciate it.
But at the same time, this is also another thing that came up with, you know, there is a restaurant nearby me that I was surprised to have on a sign on the, like a decal on the window saying, we accept Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Dogecoin as payments as well as cash. And
smart.
I'm just wondering of, you know, what's the, and I know that more places such as, you know, PayPal having like their own way of buying and accepting Bitcoin, and it's slowly starting to spread around, but maybe not as fast. Why do you think some stores may be a bit hesitant on accepting crypto?
Well, some people are slow and some people are smart. I'll just be honest with you, man. Just to be completely blunt, you've got those people that watch the news every day and they're into politics and they're all about they believe what the TV tells them. And then people are scared. They believe what the TV tells them, and oh, you know, I'm not going to say his name, but the mumbler sits there and tells you that something is dangerous or this, that, and other, and then they're, oh, well, that's the truth, blase, blase, even though there's no facts behind it. And then you have those of us who know what we're talking about. And the people that are educated in the system and they are using it. I mean, it's just really as simple as that, is that some are uneducated and some are not. And you can't blame the people that are uneducated for being uneducated, but you can blame them for willful ignorance. It's like the internet. And when the internet came out, for years, even when it was blowing up and successful, everyone was like, it's a craze. It ain't never going to work. Blah, 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 blah. Well, yeah, welcome to Bitcoin.
Yeah, and now stores like Toys R Us shut down, and then all these others that didn't adapt to like e-commerce as they should have, probably. And, you know, but I also know that's the, you know, there's some tech saying that the next big craze, and it ends up not catching on. So maybe some people are wondering,
where's the
next? Really the next thing that's really going to catch on and stay permanent? Like,
at what point is it the next thing? Look at it. It surpassed the U.S. dollar by more than anything that's ever been created, and has continued to prove that it's iron in the arena of finance over and over and over again. At what point is it the next big thing? It is the big thing, period. And it ain't going anywhere. And that's the thing, is that's what they keep doing, is, oh, well, is it going to last? Is it going to eventually, it's going to do this eventually? No, it's here. It's done.
It's over a decade old.
It's done. It ain't going nowhere. I know, y'all. Yeah. I know it breaks y'all's poor little hearts that you was wrong, but you was wrong. Sorry. Oh. I'm not sorry, but I'm going to say I am, because I don't want you to cry publicly.
Crying right now. You heard my feelings.
I was introduced to Bitcoin when it was 25 cents, and I didn't buy it because I didn't know what I was looking at. I was uneducated.
I didn't even know it existed until much later, when it was like in the news. I wish I knew about it when it was like 25 cents. Otherwise, I'd be one hell of a millionaire by now. But
I
was in a different mindset and spot back then. Not exactly the best place mindset wise. So.
Well, that, and most people didn't know about it. I mean, but here's the thing.
You could even purchase it in the first place. I mean, back then, we didn't really have a Coinbase and whatnot. So for me, I wouldn't have a way to buy it even if I wanted to, because I wouldn't know where to search in the first place.
Oh, it was so hard to purchase in the beginning. It was difficult. I mean, Coinbase came out about 10 years ago, and Coinbase was available, but it's still... I mean, like, you had to, when crypto was first available, like, to anybody, you had to find a vendor, which was really hard to do. You had to find them in forums. There were like 25 and 30 word phrases that you had to write down and memorize in a specific order. And I mean, it was a freaking nightmare in the beginning, but it wasn't designed in the beginning to be a global finance that paid for real world items. It was just a currency that was traded just like a video game currency. And then it became popular, and in turn, as its usage, the more it's used, the more its price goes up, and because it is its own asset and the usage of it is its backing. So people say, well, what if everybody quits using it? Really? Really? All these countries in the world that use Bitcoin, all the people like me that hate the U.S. government and love bypassing taxes are just going to stop using this amazing currency that has allowed us to not have to pay taxes and not get robbed by the government. And we get to make more money just by owning money than you can make by putting money in a bank. Ain't going nowhere, homeboy. We win, they lose.
Yeah, such as in a country, I believe it was El Salvador, that accepted as the one of the main currencies. And I'm kind of wondering how many more are actually going to actually do something like that instead of, you know, going with CBDCs.
All of them. Eventually. All of them. Eventually, all of them. Because here's the thing, and this is my estimation. I'm not going to get into why this is my estimation, but I've usually been right about this stuff. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. The physical U.S. dollar will last until 2053. At 2053, the U.S. dollar will collapse. That is my opinion. And if you do not have cryptocurrencies by then, you will not get to buy food. There are already places around the U.S. that don't accept the U.S. dollar. You are not allowed to use it. Go to the Verizon Arena, or I believe that's still what it's called. It used to be the Alltel Arena here in Arkansas. Cash is not allowed to be used on the property. You either use crypto or you use a credit card or a debit card.
Which
is all virtual money. And people talk about, oh, well, crypto's a virtual money. So are credit cards, and you don't complain about those. And they have fees. Crypto pays you for owning it. What?
I remember this theater chain up here in Utah that decided to switch around during the whole shutdown. I'll just put it that way, and said, we're only accepting credit cards from now on. And if you want to be able to buy tickets, you can also just insert your cash money here and get like a debit card with money on it. So it's like we're already on the path that's not going to reverse towards digital currency. It's just a matter of, are you going to choose the side of CBDCs or are you going to choose cryptocurrency?
Well, yeah. I mean, dude, everybody's been using virtual money for years. They think crypto is the first version. If you have a debit card, your money is virtual. It ain't physical. The bank don't have your money. Just so you know that. When you put your money in that bank account, that money is not there. They invest it in things called SBLCs and things of that nature. We're not going to get into all that. But they are 10xing their money, 10xing your investment with them almost every month to 90 days. They are 10xing every single dime that you put in there. Hence why you can't go to the bank and withdraw $1 million. They don't have it. It's not there. They have to order it. It has to be printed. It has to be sent. And every time that happens, the U.S. dollar goes down in value. But now look at the crypto side of things. It's the exact same thing. It's a virtual currency, which is what a credit and debit card is. It's a virtual currency, okay? But every time that you send a request for a certain amount of it, the price goes up instead of going down like the U.S. dollar, because the U.S. dollar is designed for the banking system, not for the people. Crypto's designed for the people, not for the banking system. It's why we say we're giving power back to the people, because the bank is going, you're going to put money in the bank. The bank is going to loan other people money, but they're loaning them money that they don't have. Okay. So they have to print more money, which lowers the value of the U.S. dollar and causes you to have to work longer, and then come to the bank for more loans that are at a higher percentage rate. And then due to inflation, the value of your dollar never exceeds your savings account. So the bank is the only winner. It's a scam. It's a total scam. Crypto is the only way that you are able to outrun that. Period.
Okay. So, you know, it's really getting hot on both sides of the United States here. So I just want to be able to thank you for joining me today, despite being this insufferable with the heat. So,
yeah, I'm sorry. My temper is a little flared. I am very hot, and when I'm hot, I'm not very nice. I'm sorry.
Well, maybe next time with a different subject. But how can people come and contact you to learn more about this whole crypto space and what you offer, as well as the OSNAP that we just mentioned, in case they want to try it themselves?
Workwithtuckerbearden.com. Right there, what he's got on the screen. You click on that, and you can scroll to the bottom and save my personal cell phone number. You can reach out to me. I am accessible to anyone. I am currently responding to hundreds and hundreds of messages a day. So if I don't get to you right away, don't take it personally. I promise it's not me being an asshole. I have a lot of messages. If you check my Facebook page, you'll understand why. So anyway, yes, that is where you contact me. If you want to know about investing, all you got to do is reach out to me. Full disclosure, I'm not a financial advisor. I give you guidance. That's all it is. And then OSNAP's the same thing. Reach out to me or go on my website, make an account, check it out yourself, or reach out to me and ask for a sample.
Okay. I might have to do that for some days, because I'm already looking for like another job. So, you know, eventually I'm going to get my way out, but you know, it's, And that's the thing. People need to keep in mind that to stop thinking crypto as a get-rich-quick scheme. It's something that's over time, just like anything else.
Yeah, it's like you can put money into a savings account at the bank and pray and hope that they give you 0.000001% a year. It'll take you 1,000 years to double your money in a bank. Or you can come to a place like us and you get a specific percentage set return every single week, plus percentage returns every month and every quarter. And you know what you're going to get. You know, you can calculate what you're going to compound and what you're going to do. And I mean, here's the thing, man. If you continue to trade your time for money, you will always be broke because your time is limited. But when you start teaching and you will learn how to make your money make you money, then you are unlimited. I don't spend a dime that I earn with my time. None. I only spend profits. So technically, I don't spend any of the money that I've made. All the money I've made is still put away. Every dime I've made for the past 6 years is put away. But I spend profits. And that is the way you do it. You figure out how much money it costs you to live. And then you figure out how much money you got to put away to earn that much in profits every month. And then you do that and then continue to do that until you are making enough money residually that you can do whatever you want.
Yep. And I'm definitely doing that thing. Thanks to you. And thank you again for that. And
you're very welcome.
And if you want to learn more about this show and myself, of course, ChristopherCaston.com. I have Facebook and Instagram, CD Caston Creates. And as well as a Facebook page and, of course, Patreon through Autistic Eyes Official if you would like to see all the other video cast versions. So, anyway, thanks again.
Thank you for having me, brother. Be blessed.
Yep, and also, check in next time for another episode through Autistic Eyes. So, take care, everyone.